My friends, in Jesus' grace, be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Amen. God's word today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the 9th verse, St. Paul writes, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is God's word. Please be seated. Reverend Harrison, our synodical president, asks this question in his blog, so what is this life together in the church? What does it mean that we are in this together? And what finally holds us together anyway? And what I'd like you to see today is that there really is a difference between the fellowship that we have here in the church and all of our other associations with people in this world. And I think the best way for us to see this distinction is simply to ask this question. How long will my association with people last? Now, you apply that question to your gym memberships and your club memberships, or your fitness club, golf club, to your membership at the VFW or at the Legion, or with your co-workers at work, or even with your friends and your family. How long will my association with those people last? And the answer to that question is, well, at most, those relationships will last as long as I live, and then it's over. But then you apply that question to the fellowship of the church. How long will our association with one another in the body of Christ last? How long will our relationship to each other last? And the answer is, well, we just sang it in the hymnal. Will you sing it with me again from that hymn? From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. How long will it last? Through all eternity. Our love and our friendship will continue on. When all of our other associations in this world have come to an end, the church will never perish, and our life together in Christ is forever. That's the difference. The only fellowship that lasts forever is the fellowship of Christ's body, his church. It is eternal. And the reason it is eternal is because it is of God's making. It is of God's doing. God says in his word, again, the text that we just read, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We didn't do that. Notice, it is God who did it. He is faithful. He is the one who called us to this. You were called into this fellowship of Jesus Christ. He is the one eternal Son of God, who will never die. He is the one who had eternal fellowship with his Father in heaven until one very dark Friday, his Father broke fellowship with his Son and abandoned him to the cross to die alone and forsaken. Not because of any failures or faults of his own, but because he bore our sins, our faults, our offenses against each other, all of our transgressions, borne by him on the cross. The Father had decided in his infinite mercy that it would be better to break fellowship with his Son for a few dark, tragic moments at the cross and to make him suffer hell rather than to lose fellowship with us forever. And so the Son of God paid the ransom price. A cost so high and frightening and ghastly that we would rather avert our eyes and look away from the cross than have to observe the hell that our sins have deserved. And most people will not look at it. They want no part of it. But we must not avert our eyes. Because the horror of his suffering and his abandonment is not only my fault, it's my salvation. If he bore my sins to the death on the cross, then those sins are no longer mine. They no longer stand in the way of my fellowship with God. They are wiped clean and forgiven in Jesus Christ, no longer inhibiting our fellowship with the Father. That is why St. John writes in his first epistle, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with God. What a beautiful word, fellowship. That word, fellowship, comes from the Greek word koinonia. And there you see the third of the circles in our symbol. Koinonia, to have partnership in something, to participate together in something, to come into union with others, or as we have rendered it for our purposes, our life together in Christ. But what we have to remember about this Christian koinonia, this fellowship, is that it takes the shape of the cross. We have, first of all, a vertical fellowship, a vertical koinonia with our God through Christ, but we also have a horizontal koinonia with one another in the body of Christ. You see the shape of the cross. These cruciform dimensions of our fellowship, the vertical and the horizontal, are again evident in that passage we just read from 1 John chapter 3. John says, that which we have seen and heard about Jesus, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. There is the horizontal dimensions. And indeed, we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There is the vertical dimension of our fellowship. Now you'll also notice in that green circle, the symbol for koinonia, it features prominently the communion chalice. Because the cruciform dimensions of our fellowship are most evident in the real world whenever we kneel together under the cross at the altar in a holy communion with Christ and with each other. The supper of our Lord is the very epitome of our Christian fellowship and of our life together. Think about your family dining table. A shared meal together as a family does so much more than just to nourish our body. But at the table, the family shares their lives together, their schedules, their disappointments, their dreams, their joys, the funny things that happen to them that day, their hopes. Meals at their best become a focal point of family life together. And so too, this meal that we are about to receive today is at the center of our life together. Here we commune vertically with our God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the intimacy of a meal that our Lord Himself has provided, His very body and blood for our forgiveness. And at the very same time, we commune horizontally with each other. Kneeling, standing, shoulder to shoulder, proclaiming to this world that we are of one faith and we are united in our need for the Savior. But life together is not just at the communion table. It does not end when we leave the supper of our Lord. But now, bound together in Christian faith and love, we return to our seats and to our lives, determined that we are going to live our lives together in Christ as He would have us to do. And what exactly does that mean? Let me outline a few things for you. Life together as Christ would have us do. First of all, life together means a constant devotion to our relationship with God. And you know what devotion is, right? Devotion just means you take a little bit of time and you put forth a little bit of effort to keep your relationship strong. I'm devoted to my wife, so I have to put some time and effort into that relationship. That's what devotion is. And so devotion to our Lord is attendance at His supper. It is hearing His word. It is daily moments with your family in the Word of God with an open portals of prayer for a devotion. It's all part of a devotional life. It's part of nurturing, shoring up, and sustaining our relationship with God and keeping it strong. That's why Acts chapter 2 verse 42 says, they devoted themselves. They didn't just consider this to be a casual part of life. They devoted themselves to their relationship with the Lord through the apostles' teaching, through the breaking of the bread, and through the prayers. Secondly, life together means a devotion to our relationship with each other. You know, relationships within the church are something like a marriage. You know what they say about marriage, right? Courtship is like looking at the beautiful photos of flowers in a seed catalog. Marriage is what actually comes up in your garden. Right, Bev? Relationships in the church are like that too. You would think that our relationships would all come up bright and flowery and smelling beautiful. But the reality is really something else, isn't it? The reality is we're sinful people. We offend each other. We hurt each other. We step on each other's toes. And our relationships in the body of Christ take time and they take work. Acts says that the first disciples also devoted themselves to the fellowship. It wasn't something they took casually, but they worked on it. They were devoted to it. They didn't take each other for granted. They didn't cast each other off every time someone offended them. But they put some time and some energy into their fellowship, both inside and outside of their worship, to shore up their relationships with one another. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Third, life together also means, yes, Cain, in answer to your question, I am my brother's keeper. One of the main reasons the Spirit calls us together into the church is that it's just too hard to be a Christian out there by ourselves. I would say it's impossible to be a Christian out there by yourself because it is the express will of God that we be a part of His church, the body. We need each other along this narrow and difficult road to salvation. And so we have to let go of this notion that I've heard many times from people who have absented themselves from God's house, from communion, or who are engaged in some sin. You'll hear them say, but this is between me and God. No, my friend, it's not. Your relationship with God is my concern. And my relationship with God is your concern. We are each other's keepers. And God gives us to each other for this very reason. To admonish each other. To call each other out if we're falling into sin. To call each other back to the narrow path of salvation. We are our brother's keeper. Always concerned about each other, especially if somebody is falling away. Because life with Christ is, by its very definition, a life together with Christ's people. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Any part of the body of Christ that says to another part, I don't need you, has ceased to be a part of that body and is lost. Fourth, life together means that we have to forgive one another and forbear with each other. I think Luther says it so well. He draws on St. Paul's analogy of the church as the body of Christ and we as the various members of that body and all tied to our head, Jesus Christ. And here's what he says about that body. He says, it is inevitable that various faults and mistakes will occur in the community of believers, so we should not get angry if we bite our own tongue, punch ourselves in the eye, kick ourselves, or bang our head against the wall. Isn't that a fantastic description of the body of Christ? Aren't we always kicking ourselves and punching ourselves in the eyes, huh? When this happened, Luther says, when this happens, this is the way we should think. So this is a member of your body, your brother, your neighbor. What are you going to do about it? He did it by accident and not for fun, or else it happened out of weakness or ignorance. The blow was landed and it hurts. But does this mean you are going to throw away the entire limb? You know, listen, we all fall short of God's glory. We all give offense. We have our differences. But part of the reason we belong to the church is because here we learn to deal with those things in the way of Christ. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 15, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And finally, life together means that we take care of each other. And again, I quote Martin Luther as he continued to draw upon that analogy of the church as the body of Christ. Luther goes on to say, this is obvious. If anyone's foot hurts him, yes, even the little toe, the eyes at once look at it, the fingers grasp it, the face puckers and shares its pain, the whole body bends over it, and all are concerned with this small member. Again, once it is cared for, all the other members are benefited. When you stub your little toe in the middle of the night, you don't just say, oh, well, it's just my little toe. No, the whole body tends to the little toe at that point, doesn't it? Perhaps even goes down to the floor. Because every member counts. And so Paul says in Romans, love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in sharing honor. And so these five, life together as Christ would have us to do it, means that we devote ourselves to our relationship with God. We devote ourselves to our relationships with one another. It means, yes, Cain, I am my brother's keeper. It means that we must forgive one another and forbear with one another and take care of each other. All of which is to say, we are in this together. As those who share one Lord, one faith, one baptism, we are participating together in the story of God's saving plan for humanity. Let us pray that our life together would be always strengthened through the plans that we are making right now within our congregation, and that any divisions or squabbles or quarrels or disagreements or offenses or jealousies can be set aside in Christ-like forgiveness. And let us rejoice in the ties that bind us in Christian love and fellowship. This is our life together. In the precious name of our Savior, amen. Now may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.